everyone. It's Friday night. Happy Friday, everybody. A little special episode we're doing tonight of TDR Rocks. That's right, Television Radio Rocks. My name is Bay Ragney. And who else to do a better special episode with than the one and only former guitarist of KISS, Mr. Bruce Kulick. Got to talk to Bruce finally the other day. We've been emailing back and forth for about a month to get this set up, actually about 6 weeks now that I think about it. And we finally got it set up, hooked up, and it was truly an honor to talk to Bruce. And the big reason, like, I reached out to Bruce, I mean, been a huge KISS fan for, you know, four decades now, but the KISS cruise that him and his brother Bob played on back in November, like, I just can't get enough of it. I keep watching the set that they did with Todd Kearns and Brent Finch from Slash's band. If you haven't seen it, just go on YouTube and check it out. I mean, it's everybody's been ranting and raving about it. Everybody loved it, thought it was great. And it just inspired me to reach out to Bruce. And lo and behold, reached out to him, got hooked up, and got to talk to him. So I'm going to play the interview in a little bit. I want to play a few tunes, though, from that show. So let me do a couple tunes, and then we'll do the interview. And maybe we'll do some more music after that. But anyway, here it is. Here's All American Man, that classic KISS song that Bob Kulick played on side four of Alive 2. So let's do it.
All right, so you asked for it. You finally got what you want. And we brought part of the family. We got Bruce. Come on, Bruce. That's right. How about Bob? Can you do it for Bob? Neil and Bob. All right, Fran's going to give the proper introduction. You guys have a name, Bruce? Kulick Brothers, that's it? All right, Fran.
We're the Eric Singer tribute band.
KISS Cruise 7! The Kulick Brothers! KISS Cruise 7, you ready to rock?
Mama's foot. Hot look, I'm American man.
Area. This song is from Asylum. Solos like that 33 years ago, Jesus, killing me, but thank you.
All right, welcome back. Totally Jim Radio Rocks, Bay Ragney here, and that was another tune off of the Kiss Cruise, and probably my favorite Kiss tune from the Bruce era, or maybe not, because I just remembered there's the whole Revenge album to get involved, but definitely the favorite one off Asylum, and probably my top maybe three of the whole Bruce era, Who Wants to Be Lonely. Great tune. Had to share both of their songs with you. I would love to just play the whole freaking set, but you're here to hear the new interview. You want to hear Bruce. So let's do it. Let's get right into it. You're tired of hearing me talking. Here he is, the one and only Bruce Kulick, and he's going to be in the Philadelphia area this weekend with Grand Funk Railroad. They're going to be at the Tropicana in Atlantic City. So if you're in the area, go check them out. Get to meet them. Try to meet them. Tell them you're totally driven. Tell them you heard the interview. So there you go. Let's do it. Here he is, the one and only.
And there he is, the one and only, Mr. Bruce Kulick.
Hey, you're psychic, huh?
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
How you doing, man? It's a hell of an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you. And I'm doing good. Yeah. And, you know, we're coming not too far from you soon, right?
Good old Atlantic City this weekend.
Yep. And that's a good venue, by the way, the Tropicana. We've played it a few times already. So it's, it's not exactly a New York gig, but, you know, a lot of people, Atlantic City still is way to go, right? And I know it's a lot of people have a good time there. So we're looking forward to the gig.
It's kind of scary. When I was looking up and I was seeing you guys were playing actually at the Tropicana, I was thinking to myself, wow, the last time I was at the Tropicana to see somebody, I saw Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yep. They actually do some of the gigs at some of the festival type city festivals and fairs that we do, so I'm not surprised, you know. But it's a great thing to be a part of this whole classic rock. Me being a part of Grand Funk is wonderful, but the point I'm trying to make is just that there seems to be a good appetite from the public to see bands such as Grand Funk or, you know, think of the hits that Casey and the Sunshine Band have, even though that's a different style of music than Grand Funk. But
right.
People want to feel good, and, you know, certainly we entertain, and I've been, you know, quite thrilled to be a part of all these years. It's been 17 years already of playing with them, and it's I'm excited about the fact that we just really give 100%, and we have a great show, and the people are always very thrilled to see us. So it's a good feeling.
And then, well, playing with like a Grand Funk and playing with Kiss before that and all, like playing with these bands, and then you think of like the modern era of music or new bands, and you kind of get like kind of almost sad for them or worried for the new era of music because it's so hard to build a fan base and following nowadays with new music that everybody kind of goes back to the classics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can talk for hours about what's going on in the music business, and it's so confusing because it's so different. And it's true that, you know, because people don't really buy music the way they used to do that, and the way the internet and YouTube and streaming services have all affected the diet of how music is enjoyed by the masses, it's kind of odd. So, of course, and each generation wants their own kind of music anyway, or band. And then, of course, at times they stretch out and they discover something. I love it when I see young kids wearing Zeppelin or Beatle or Kiss T-shirts. You know, it's always a lot of fun, you know, to see. I've met some young Grand Funk fans, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, who exposed them to that. You know what I mean? But, I'm not that worried about, like what the current artists that are hot now will be doing in 20 years, but I am aware that I'm in a nice niche that people love talking about classic rock like Grand Funk and Kiss seems to just be untouchable in the sense of popularity or discussion at least and the interest in the band and that's all eras too, not just
sure.
Makeup a version of them, so it's quite flattering for me.
As a matter of fact, I mean, I'm a longtime Kiss fan. Actually, my second concert I ever saw was you, Animalize tour with Kiss at Philly Spectrum with Queensryche. But this whole the Kiss Cruise thing, you know, it popped up one day on YouTube, one of the videos, of course, and it was actually one of favorite songs from your era, Who Wants to Be Lonely? And I watched it. And I was like, holy crap. And then I found the whole set on there, and I still, at least once a week, I go back and watch like the whole set. It was just so good.
Apparently, those YouTubes are getting a lot of action, which is pretty exciting to think.
That's that's what made me reach out to you. I'm like, I got to talk to Bruce about this. Like, because now, like, curiosity killed me. Like, I mean, when you guys were doing it, on stage, you're on the stage, you're on the cruise, did you guys realize how magical it was as it was happening?
You know, I was very aware of the impact that it could make. But in the moment, I was just trying to, you know, do my best. And, you know, we didn't get to rehearse a lot, though. When we did rehearse, we all went home. Within a week, we had tapes of what we did. So everybody individually kind of practiced that way, you know. So that's why it was quite impressive to just come together and have it come off as well as it did. And to be honest, you know, not knowing really, like, I saw that we went over and everything, but it just seems like, the magic that happened is more, it was less apparent from my eyes that night and more apparent watching it on YouTube, you know, and seeing the reaction. And then, of course, hearing the what the fans are saying, you know. So, and you got to remember that most artists, they always hope to do their best on stage, you know, and they want to perform well. And you know, you're concentrating on that, and you know, the last thing you really want to do is just constantly tell yourself, oh, this is epic, you know, because, you know, that's when you'll hit the wrong chord, you know. So you just try to be there in the moment, and it was a lot of fun. And I was very, very pleased afterwards, and I had no concept of, like, how amazing everybody would, you know, the people, obviously that was a captured audience on the sun deck, you know, of the, you know, the kickoff night. So it was a prime time, but I didn't realize that all those YouTubes would be so effective for, and that's kind of how we got the invitation back. You know, I mean, I know that the fans spoke, and it was very easy for Gene and Paul to realize, you know, we should invite them back, you know, and that's very flattering to me, of course, you know. That's maybe the biggest vote of confidence, you know, that they enjoyed it too. So,
did they happen to see any of it, or they just heard the buzz about it?
You couldn't miss it if you were there, but I'm not saying they were in the crowd or anything, because actually where the, like, kind of the rooms are not far from there, so I'm not, like, completely aware of, like, what did they see or didn't see, but I do know that they were very aware of, if not hearing it on the boat that night, is, of course, some of the YouTubes, so...
Nice.
It was, you know, again, you know, there's artists that say, like, don't film me, you know, don't ever film me, lock up your phones, you know, can you imagine if I made people do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That wouldn't have worked in our favor, you know, for
not at all.
So, in that way, even though it's a little spooky when people, you know, shove the smartphone in your face and you realize anything you say, do, or, you know, if I drop a guitar pick, there you go, you know, that'll be on, you know, but you get what I mean.
Right.
In this case, it was able to go viral in a positive way for us because, again, that was something that was a special night. I mean, and we were able to, you know, do something very unique in the world of KISS, meaning, you know, I could represent some of my era and certainly Bob's era all in one set. So it was the ingredients were quite tasteful, you know, and we had a good meal up there, you know.
Now, is that the first time you and Bob got to do something like that with KISS music?
We jammed one time. That's that guy who does the KISS Indie Expo, and we did some songs. And I got to think it's been at least 5 years ago, you know.
Okay.
And it was, I mean, it was well received, but it wasn't like we went, you know, like into a full set of songs, you know.
Right.
And actually, we're supposed to do that again for the guy in Indianapolis. And Ace Frehley's going to be there, and he's got all the guys from Frehley's Comet there.
Oh,
and
nice.
Eric Singer is going to be there, and it's his birthday weekend. So there's a really big Indie Expo coming up in May 12th and 13th that shouldn't be missed, okay, if you're a KISS fan. And I'm sure it's going to sell out, but it's going to be quite interesting.
Nice. Now, how about... like, when you guys were presented to do this, did you immediately think of Brent on drums, and then he brought Todd in? Is that how that whole connection worked? Or
it was kind of organic, really. In the beginning, Bob and I were kind of booked to do the panel, because it was called KISS World, and the panel was going to feature myself and my brother and Lydia Chris and John Hart, you know, a bodyguard that did a couple of different tours, even one with me. And then Michael James Jackson, who's been, like, very mysterious producer of some really important albums, like Creatures of the Night and all. And then, of course, they did want to include the invitation for us to play, at least with the house band. And it was more Bob and I that looked at that going like, you know, we'd rather do a real set, you know, kind of thing. And my brother really went very aggressive about it with the six-man people. And my wish list was also the same as Bob. If we can get Brent Fitz and Todd Kearns to join us, you know, we know we could put together a, you know, a really strong set. So instead of just like telling you know, the house band's terrific, but like to tell them, here, learn these songs, it's not the same, you know.
Yeah.
And the house band understood that too. They particularly didn't want the burden of it when we could have, you know, as soon as they approved that Brent and Todd could be involved, you know, then we took the bull by the horn and just, you know, started discussing the set and getting together for rehearsal and all that.
That's
like the
awesome.
Way it organically, like, evolved into a kind of like a, you know, an actual, more than just the panel and
right.
And sitting in, it became an actual, you know, band performance, even though we're technically not a band, but obviously, you know, we have a lot that we can represent in a solid set. And, you know, obviously when opportunities arrive, we'll be doing more of it. It's been
right.
hard. A lot of people have asked, you know, and with my Grand Funk commitments, it's not that easy to go say like, yeah, I got 10 days. I can go to Australia and do this, you know? And besides, we have we love Todd and Brent. We, you know, have to coordinate everyone's schedule, but
yeah.
It's just something. Even no matter how much I'll look at all the opportunities, of course, but it's something I'm real proud of, and I know my brother's thrilled. He certainly you know came to the party with guns blazing there and loved it. You know what I mean? So he's always, you know, like. Like he's enjoying the sunshine, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
There's a bright light there, and you know, Gene put out the vault, and then I went down to support that here in L.A., and Bob was there in Vegas for him, and you know, I like all the little connections that have been very, you know, kind of good family relations with
yeah.
everyone related to KISS lately, and I very much appreciate that, and I think the fans are going crazy over it, you know. Even Vinnie Vincent reappearing, you know, suddenly, you know, all this is great for the fans because they want it to be, you know, it's a big world, the whole, you know, what KISS has represented to lots of eras, lots of amazing albums and videos, and there's a lot to share, you know. So I think the more it's everybody, you know, and it's something the Hall of Fame didn't want to do, which Paul and Gene were very vocal about, as you know. So, it's kind of really been an exciting time in the KISS world without necessarily KISS touring. You know, it's just all these other things related so strongly to KISS that are making the fans excited. So it's great to be a part of that.
I think with all these things happening too, it is kind of almost more exciting than actual touring of KISS. You know, I mean, it's like magical moments, these little moments with, you know, you and me doing the vault, or Vinnie and Vincent finally appearing.
Yep.
I think it's more magical and means a lot more to the fans that these little things, big things.
No, I agree with that. And many of them have not been very thought out and masterfully planned. Now, a tour, any band that tours, you got to put that together. And you got to have, you know, a lot of, you know, thought into it. And there's just so much money and production involved and logistics. But a lot of these things that have been happening, you know, again, have happened in a very maybe a bit of an unusual, you know, way that have made them, as you keep saying, something more magical that way. So yeah, you know, I'm excited about the all the possibilities. You know, it's great.
You know, it's funny too, because I've said this for years, and especially like when you guys did the Revenge Club tour. And really started playing a lot of the classic KISS stuff, and you know, it was kind of just stripped down. And then when you all got together for the Unplugged, and I've been saying this for, you know, it's, I guess, what is it, over 20 something years now, like I think all eras of KISS should just do a stripped down tour, no makeup or nothing, just go out like how Gene's been doing as of late and Paul's done in the past, and just go out, everybody, and just have fun, you know what I mean? And it's what it would be more magic.
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict the future or anything, but you know, I would welcome anything like that too. And it's kind of ironic that something cool like the MTV Unplugged thing that was kind of like my last gig with Kiss, you know, official gig with Kiss, which is frustrating and kind of sad. And think about it, that was 95 that we filmed that.
Wow.
Yeah, we put out Carnival Souls, but we didn't really, you know, it came out later. Because everything went into the makeup and the reunion, which was on a business level, and the fans supported it and sold out stadiums and everything. I mean, it was understandable. And I think maybe we're at that, you know, post 20-year mark now that mixing things up and maybe trying some other things will show value to. I know that the fans are buzzing about it also. So I think Gene and Paul see some of this as well. It's very clear to me. They wouldn't have invited us on the cruise. I mean, even having Ace on the cruise is like, what? This is great. You know, I mean, the first thing Ace said to me when I got to the vault, you know, I'm doing the cruise. I said, that's great. You know, I'm actually going on a cruise next week with the Grand Funk because we usually cruises are booked way in advance, but Flo and Eddie aren't going to be on the Flower Power cruise, and we got the offer to kind of fill in that slot on that boat. And I'll be out in the Caribbean next week, you know, which is pretty exciting. And we did one other before. Ironically, what made me think of it is the fact that we did Legends of Rock, which is a really big one, and Ace was on it, you know. And,
oh wow!
Yeah. So, and it was kind of funny, he told me that he did a cruise. He kind of forgot when I was first talking to him about the Kiss cruise, but he forgot that he did the same one that Grand Funk did, and I came and saw his set. He came to see Grand Funk. You know, it was fun. Yeah, so, and the whole cruise business is insane, you know, you think about it.
You know, it's scary, too, because I see all these amazing things on these cruises going on, and that's, like, my biggest fear is water. And being on the cruise, so I never do them, and I'm like,
you barely know you're out there, but I get what you mean. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to tell you you're crazy, but you know, it's a lot. These boats are so sophisticated, you'd be surprised that. Well, I've done three actually. One in Brazil that I did my own thing on, which is a smaller boat actually, and then the Legends one with Grand Funk, which was exciting. One night was a little bumpy, but not bad. And then the Kiss one I was on, at least for the days I was on it, it was smooth sailing. It was like really, really easy to deal with. So, you know, but I understand that, you know. You can always bring some medication, you know, and go.
Yeah. I think you're the first person to kind of agree with me, because usually when I talk to people who do these cruises and all, they're like, oh, you're crazy. You don't feel a thing. You got to do it. At least
no, there's times you do feel it, but I still don't think, believe me, I'm not Mr. Adventure. Trust me. Okay. The hardest thing I do about my career is to travel. And I mean, I enjoy seeing, you know, beautiful places and all that. But it's really about the performing for me. But yeah, there is some, you know, elements that you're dealing with the elements. For some people, that's really exciting. For other people, like don't ever invite me to a camp, okay, to go camping, okay? I'm just not into it, all right? Definitely not.
You know what? Now, don't say that too loud, because Gene might hear that and start the Kiss camp.
Yeah, I know. Kiss campgrounds, and Kiss will perform at the campgrounds. It came up in the dressing room of Grand Funk last week. We were chatting about our sound guy who wants to retire soon. He's got a beautiful RV, so he's taken a lot of, you know, wonderful trips with it. And just ironically, we were talking about, we could just see the future now that there'll be classic rock bands playing RV parks. You know what I mean? And all the RV people come in. But I mean, that's kind of like what a lot of those kind of, there are many, you know, festivals and stuff that you see a ton of RVs, you know, the NASCAR things, you know, everybody just parks in there and they set up home and enjoy the, you know, the entertainment. And we've even played at NASCAR events. You know, that's another, you know, connection with classic rock. It seems to support that. So, you know, people love live music, thank God, because they're not buying the CDs anymore. That's all.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. Does that affect you, like, personally in putting out more solo music?
Yeah, it's kind of hampered that a bit. And I do feel bad about it, because I was even thinking about it last night. The only way to do it is that you do some sort of like pledge music type thing, which means you're really pre-selling it, you know, because I know if I said whatever my budget that I felt like I could do a competent, you know, quality record that, let's say, I said it was X amount, you know, I know I would get the support and they would buy it. But I also need that drive to figure out, like, all right, well, what, I wouldn't ask anybody for money without having the music, you know, already mapped out in my head. And, yeah, and even though I have some songs, I keep saying I want to do it. Every year, you know, new things kind of like present themselves to you that are career related. I've noticed that people really, I've been very shy about, you know, kind of offering items that are related to me, just because I wasn't really being aggressive about it. I mean, I did my three solo records, and I haven't done anything since then. All right, I released a single with my wife, you know, but my own thing I hadn't done, okay. But then last year I realized, oh, you know, Crazy Nights, 30th anniversary, this is great. I'm going to offer mini guitars of the yellow ESP that I held on the back of the album, and they sold out, you know, in 2 days. And then I even made a short run from, you know, ESP that I offered. It didn't come from ESP. You know, I bought them from them, okay, you know, and they sold out in 1 day. You know what I mean? I realized I could have sold many, many more of them, you know, but I want to do more of that, if you get what I'm saying. That doesn't mean I should ignore music. I will agree. Okay. But I am aware that fans really do value that whole 12 years of Kiss years that I was involved in. And if I can, you know, kind of share some things that I feel are really represent something that would make them excited for their collection at the same time, do it at a, you know, reasonable price point, and make sure the quality is there, because those things really matter to me. I don't like putting my name on anything that isn't, like, really good. I want to do some more of those things. And there you go. You read a Rolling Stone article about some of the new bands, because they don't sell their CDs as well, but they offer up great merchandise. Well, that sounds like Kiss, doesn't it? Right.
Exactly.
And they're doing very well from that, because they maybe they would typically just do regular T-shirts and stuff, but then they get more aggressive about, let's offer more things. You know, let's offer things that, you know, can help support them, you know.
Right.
And make the fans happy. So it's a new dynamic, you know, for sure. But I don't want to, you know, kind of say that I don't ever want to do new music. I am thinking about it.
How about even like from a writing standpoint, do you sit and like write music, or are you just kind of pulled back at it from times because you're not sure when it'll ever see light of day?
You know, anytime. I mean, there isn't as much of an ambition about it because, yeah, when you wanted to, let's say you had a commitment that every 2 years you're going to put out a solo record, surely you would try to be sure that you were writing. But there's lots of times when I'm just sitting around playing the guitar and I go like, wow, that's a cool riff, and I record it and I save it. I have a lot of those kind of things. But, you know, this discussion we're having is very real in the fact that many, many artists that probably have the finances, you know, 100 times of what I could, you know, think about, you know, could do it, and they don't. Okay, and I think it's all part of that same thing that a lot of the fans, it always scratched my head that Paul McCartney, he did some terrific solo records in the past, you know, 12, 15 years, and not all of them have sold very well, and some of them are amazing, you know. So you got, you know, like, come on, rock royalty, you know, this, you know, and he could sell out stadiums around the world, as you know. And he just, I know he's going to put something out again soon. It hasn't stopped him, of course, but I'm just saying, it's got to be a little shocking to him in some ways, you know, because it's just not relative to what he's doing in that stadium, you know, business. And then, you know, let's say he only sells 250,000 copies of a release. It just doesn't relate to the gross of the gig. So that proves a point, and it happens from the Stones to everybody, you know. So, anyway, let's not talk about this anymore. I might get depressed and have to have coffee or something.
I'll tell you what, I mean, honestly, even from like on my side of the fence here, as the fan looking in, like, it drives me nuts. Like, I shake my head and I want to like beat my head against the wall because I'm still out there buying stuff, and I'm just like, why aren't people doing it? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I buy CDs and I buy vinyl. I love vinyl. You know, vinyl's a big, there's a, you know, collector's market for it. It's not for everybody.
Sure.
But there are, you know, people that still buy things. My brother is doing very well. He put out a solo record last year. And, of course, with the exposure that he's gotten from the cruise, every event he does, he sells out of them. And that's wonderful. And I'm sure that if it was 10 years ago and something, and he put something out, maybe they wouldn't sell out quite, you know, because everyone puts out a CD, right?
Right.
So I think he's in a good niche for that. Obviously, when I offer product, it's, you know, not everything is new. So, you know, if someone wants to complete a collection or something like that. I do have plans about some vinyl product that I'm going to release. I don't want to say what it is quite yet, but I am working on some new, you know, to release vinyl again. And, you know, so one step at a time, you know, and we all do, all the artists appreciate. I know John Corabi just put out something that was vinyl and CD of a lot
right.
of content. You know, when he performed Motley Music, a buddy of mine just showed me the stuff, and it looked really cool. So, you know, and I heard that the limited vinyl edition sold out, like, right away in pre-orders, you know. So there's a market out there, you know. So
sure.
And it's just serving those people, you know. So, you know, you will be taken care of, okay? But it might be more limited, you know, as opposed to the, you know, the millions that buy the Bon Jovi record or whatever, you know. You get what I mean?
Would you join the other ranks of the guys in KISS and write an autobiography?
You know, I'd love to write a book, and my book would be more really about my everything that I accomplished through the years of my whole life, not only the KISS
sure.
years, you know. And I've been I keep, you know, in fact, I'm glad you brought it up because I could ask Bob. My brother did. Last year, I know he was working pretty hard on doing something with a book, but I haven't heard him talk about it much, and I keep going like, well, I don't want to, like, kind of, you know, compete with him or anything. And he's got a fascinating story, so I should
sure.
ask him again, what's going on with your book? Because people are asking me about mine. And I said it on the cruise. It came up during the panel. I said, well, I'm, you know, kind of waiting for my brother to put out his, and then, you know what I'm saying, you know.
Right, right.
So it isn't something I've... you know, that's off my radar. It's just, in some ways, my story is still being written, you know, because new exciting things keep coming.
Yes, they do. Now, how about, like, did you ever think to yourself, like, back when, I mean, earlier in your career working with Michael Bolton, like, the musical direction he went in, was it kind of shocking to you at all, like, that he ended up with the softer side of music?
No, you know, Michael was always very talented, very driven, very ambitious. And he was a good writer. He was never really, I mean, he starts out loving the blues, then doing like kind of more R&B, then getting more rock, then getting more hard rock, and then pulling back completely and just wanting to write songs. And since he's a good songwriter anyway, besides being a terrific singer, he was able to find and play some songs with some hit artists. And then, of course, he started to apply that to his own career by doing more music like that. And man, all, you know, everybody's mother or whatever, you know, just went crazy.
Right.
And he became very, very successful with it. You know, he still talks about doing a rock record. I've seen him mention it and we've discussed it. And of course he said he'd reach out to me if he does,
oh, nice.
If he goes through with that, you know, but, he plays a lot of the same, you know, casinos and things. Whenever I see the photo on the wall, I'll grab a shot and share it with him and we laugh. You know, no, I wasn't surprised. It was a good move. I mean, you know, he loves that music. And then, you know, think about his career, as crazy as it's been. He dabbled in doing Pavarotti kind of stuff and getting
right.
involved with that. And he's dabbled in a lot of different things. And then he finally got a sense of humor about his career, and it just made it more fascinating because people love it when he's done those kind of like crazy, goofy things where he's out of character in a sense or making fun of his own character. So
right.
I got a lot of respect for the guy. He's very, very driven, very bright, very talented.
That's awesome. Now here's an idea too. I was thinking of, you know, there's a lot of these like guitars tours, like, there's the G3 one that's going around. Actually, I think right now they're doing
mm-hmm.
a, how about a K3 yourself, Ace and Vinnie Vincent, now that he's, back from the missing.
what's the oh, you mean KISS 3? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's funny. I you know, I have no idea, you know, something like that. I'll have to run that by my manager, you know. Look, I don't rule out anything. I mean, there's been always lots of very interesting things that people present to me, and outside of, since Grand Funk can take up, you know, we do 40 to 50 gigs a year, And you can imagine how much travel that is, although that can happen in any month. We don't go on tour like, you know, Kiss or a big band that, you know, gets the, you know, five trucks, eight trucks, and out they go for 2 months or 3 months. But it's always a challenge for me to figure out, you know, how to schedule anything else. So that's why I only take little trips of things. And something like that deserves a little more than a little trip. So, but who knows? Right. That's a great idea for the future, you know. That's interesting.
Do you like that, the way you work with the Grand Funk now? Basically you do, like, weekend shots. Do you like it better that way?
I do love being home. So as much as we work, I live on the West Coast, and we do too much on the East Coast. So, man, my ass gets tired on the planes, you know. But, yeah, I do prefer that than, you know, getting on a bus or, you know, doing a large tour where you're really away from home for months on end. I do see a lot of value in this, and many, many bands do it this way. They're called fly dates, you know. And then you have backline. We have the pleasure of a wonderful backline company from Indianapolis who also has a Vegas location, so they can have a truck and our equipment along with what they rent out, which would be the same as what I own, certain Marshall amps and stuff, anywhere we need it to be, you know. So it's it works, you know, because it just, you got to remember the bands that when you're on out for like 2-3 months, you got to work like 4 or 5 times a week at least, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not as easy, you know, and certainly people love a Friday night or a Saturday night. It's always odd to me when Grand Funk picks up a Thursday or a Tuesday because of a corporate gig or something like that. But, you know, you do what you do, you know. So, but that whole element of, you know, being able to fly and then be home for 4 or 5 days, you know, I like it. I have a big run coming up only because, you know, the cruise obviously takes up time, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But, you know, in general, I know my wife certainly appreciates it, and so does my mom, you know. So I do like to be able to come back home and get back to, you know, the things you enjoy in your home, you know. So.
Yeah, because I think it was just last weekend you guys were out back this way again. Anyway, you were in the Poconos.
Yeah,
and then...
yeah. No, I mean, if you look at a schedule, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, you know, is what we do. And it's always funny, you chat to somebody on the plane, so where's your next gig? And I go like, well, actually, next week it's in New Jersey, you know, and I'm just leaving Pennsylvania. You know what I'm saying? But what are you going to do, stay there for 5 days? You know, you're not going to do that. You got to go home. I've had trips where, well, I sometimes only have a day turnaround, you know. And I'll do that if it makes sense with the schedule. But, you know, a working musician, it's not easy. You know, the wear and tear of the travel is tough. But it's, you know, if you're making a living doing what you love, you're very fortunate. So I know all the players that do what I do really are aware of that. Otherwise, they would go crazy and just be in a mental institution already. Yeah.
Cool. So this Saturday night, Bruce and Grand Funk, they return back here to the Philadelphia area. They're going to be in Atlantic City at the Tropicana, which is one of my favorite casinos. Of course, they also have a Hooters in there, so I enjoy Hooters.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, interesting. That could be my my after-hour thing. I always have a lot of friends come to that show, you know, people I know from the New York area. It's a good venue. It's a really great room. I think there's a lot of history there. So if you're in the area, you should come out tonight. I have no idea, you know, like, you know, if it's sold out or not, but just call the casino, check it out, and you'll enjoy the show. I know we're that's a great room. We're looking forward to the gig.
Absolutely. Well, Bruce, I want to thank you for taking time out and doing this. It was, like I said, an honor to talk to you. Thank you for all the musical history, and I hope you guys do more of these shows, you and your brother and Todd and Brent, like,
yeah, I mean, it's all on the horizon. We just got to see how it all, you know, fits in everyone's schedule. But the fact that people, you know, are interested and excited about it really does mean a lot to us. So thanks again. So, all right. Well, thanks for the time and the interview. And hopefully, all will be well in Jersey this weekend, right?
Absolutely. If all I right. can just get you to kind of an ID, too, before I let you go.
Sure.
Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio, because I am driven by my guitar. That's a little known fact. There you go.
Awesome. Bruce, thank you so much again, man.
All right.
Take care. Good luck with everything.
All right. You be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, welcome back. Tell Your Dirty Rocks, and there it is, the one and only Bruce Kulick and our interview with Bruce. So much fun stuff to talk about. It was an honor. It really is. Our first person from the True Kiss family to be on the show. So I want to thank you, Bruce, so much for taking the time out to do it. Thank you for everybody for tuning in and checking it out. I hope you enjoyed it all as much as I enjoyed doing it. And, just make sure you keep up to date. We got a tons more interviews coming up and shows and all that fun stuff. Just look for Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio. Just look for us. Google, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Or look for myself, Bay Ragney. Like me, love me, follow me. And, there you go. Thanks again for tuning in. And I guess the best thing to do to leave is with some music. And I'll do what they did on the Kiss Cruise. Let's say goodbye. So goodbye, everybody. Take care. Stay driven.
Nobody else has got an army. Make some noise for yourself. Say a couple words besides the terrific crowd that we have here, all you guys that we're so grateful for. You know, I do have to give it to my older brother Bob. Okay, don't believe his Wikipedia, I don't think, all right, or whatever. But you know, Bob certainly throughout my formative years when I was young inspired me so much with the guitar and the rock music, and from the Beatles to Cream to Hendrix to Kiss. He turned me on to Kiss and beyond. And I want to thank him. I love you, Bob. This is exciting. Come on, we're talking about you. So there he is, Bob Kulick in the flesh. He's very excited about tonight, let me tell you. And now his amp doesn't work. This is my brother, okay? How do I plug in the pedals, Bruce? Okay. Delay to the left. Distortion. No. How about when I plug them in during the show? Did you see that? You know? It's a little bit, I'm a little more electronic than them, but it doesn't mean that I'm a brighter Kulick. It just means I know how to plug things in, you know? What's going on? Absolutely nothing? Turn your volume on. Thank you. Okay. What did I say? Turn your volume on. It's there. There you go. All right, that's better. I'd like to take this opportunity to talk about somebody that means a lot to me. In my opinion, the greatest guitarist to ever work with Kiss, my brother, Bruce Kulick! Well, maybe for the non-makeup era, I'll take that though, but thank you. Now, we all know it's not a matter of better or worse.
No.
But, there you have it, my humble opinion.
But, you know, when Bob would come home and say, I just did a session with Kiss, I was floored, okay? That was fucking cool, right? Think about it. You know, my brother played with Kiss. Ooh. But he can't tell anybody. You know what I mean? That was the crazy part. But, you know, everybody knows the history of the band and all the, you know, the ins and outs and the guitar players and everything and how it all happened. And it's just a blessed thing for all of us to be here celebrating their music, their catalog, their attitude about living your life and enjoying the, you know, what you have, which is there's so much to enjoy, and rock music like this really empowers you. So, you know, God bless these guys for everything they do, and I'm just really proud of myself to actually have been a part of their history and to be finally invited to be on the cruise to share it with you. So thank you.
Well said, Brother Bruce.
Yeah, so we have a fitting last song for you, okay? I wonder if you can guess the title.
Hopefully it'll be a temporary goodbye.
And you gotta give it up for Todd, okay? All right, everybody know Todd Kearns? And Brett Fritz, my old buddy from Union. These guys are monster players. They play with a lot of people you know. I think one of them is Gene Simmons, okay? Brett, and these guys have been with Slash for years. Great players.
Yeah, let's hear it for these guys.
What an honor for us to all play for you tonight on Kiss Cruise 7. We fucking love you. Thank you so much.